When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You do not understand how much easier it is to record these episodes after a win versus a loss. The playoffs, it's you're living and breathing by every puck touch. So just a win and that day in between that game, the win, you get a day to bask in the glory. You get a day, morning, afternoon to bask in it again. And then you're right back into it. It's just so much easier. The vibes are so much better, but you know, still people are going to shit on this team because it's the Toronto market and that's what they do. As always, joined by Jason. Game two win. Oh my God.
Listen, they want to shit on the team. That's fine. I'm happy that we're here. We're recording after a win. Cause like, I'm not going to lie. When we record after a loss, my brain is like just filled with like so many emotions. I try to keep a level head. I try and like make sense of everything, but it's so frustrating because the emotions cloud you. But I'm happy to be here after a win because I feel like I could. There's more to talk about, and I feel like it's. I'm in higher spirits, which I think people like to hear more.
Game one kind of ended like it was. It got up to 4-0. It was like shit.
Yeah, it's just like get
right. Like, just shit happened.
Get me out of here. Yeah, like, get me out of this game.
Essentially,
already.
It wasn't like an overall horrible performance, but like there, it was like just the puck. The puck went into the Leafs net 4 times and went into the Boston net 0 times. Now, with this being said. Like the reason after a loss, you're dreading, okay, they need to do X, Y, Z to win. That's what we said last episode.
Yeah.
It's just the dread of what if they don't? Like it starts 1-0 this game. 1-0 because of a penalty kill goal against. You're like,
yeah. On a bad penalty to take from McCabe.
It was like, a soft penalty.
It was soft, but like, you know, like the refs
couldn't
the refs
puncture a grape.
That's a good one.
But they pulled it through 1-1. Now, with that being said, I'm going to have some harshest words right now. Because we've seen this before. You took one on the road. Huge. Massive. Going into Toronto. I will say this. There is no such thing as momentum between games in the playoffs. One game ends. That's it. There's no momentum that's taken into another game. And where's the proof in that? Look, Tampa Bay and the Leafs took turns blowing each other out. They took turns blowing. I almost.
But do we have to restart?
No, we don't. But
I'm kidding.
like 7-3, 7-2, 6-2, whatever. Yeah. And then what happens just the next game, the very next game, the other team then blows the other team out. Blowing everywhere. Anywho, there's no momentum between playoff games. With that being said, it's an advantage for the Leafs. You split in Boston. You're coming back home. But how many times have we seen them take advantage of this? Not too many, unfortunately.
No.
That's where this team needs to prove that they are different. A lot of people saying this team has more grit. This team has more fight. They have more size. They hit more. They play more passionately. This is right here where they need to prove it. Right here.
Yeah.
In this game, in game number 3 and come out with a good showing. Not that they didn't. Both games against Boston to start. I thought they started well. Just a shit bounce in game 1. A shit call in game 2. And you're behind the eight ball. But that's not to say that the starts have been great. That's 100%. The starts have been great. But intimation, if you want to prove that you're different from these past Leaf teams, these past teams in the Matthews era, start on time in game 3 on home ice. Not that it's that hard because you're playing in, you know, you might as well be playing at Roy Thomson Hall.
I know.
How loud that bullshit crowd is.
How many times, by the way, have we come back here on game 2, I guess, flipping over from home to away or away to home, and it's been a 1-1, or coming out of game
every
two,
single time, game. Past four
every time,
series.
Right? Okay, yeah. Just
Montreal was 1-1. But all of them that we've recorded through have all been home, right?
Oh, home, yeah.
Well,
Montreal, but, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say this. Actually, so 18-19 was definitely 1-1 when they came from Boston. They won game one. They lost game two because of horse shit reffing. 19-20 against Columbus, they lost the first game, they won the second game. Montreal, they lost the first game, they won the second game. Tampa Bay, they won the first game, they lost the second game. And then last year, they lost the first game, won the second game. So yeah, it's I don't think we've seen the Leafs up 2-0 in a long ass time. I don't know when the last time actually was. Someone's got to look that up. But I will, like, going back even further, like, the Leafs in 2012, 2013, I swear that either they started 1-1 there, and then one of the series they might have been down 0-2 and then made it 3. It was 3-1 Boston leaving Toronto, and then they came back, and then there was the Jake Gardiner, Frederick Anderson puke all over themselves game. But anyways, enough recapping historical Leafs performances. But yeah, 1-1. Been here before.
Yeah, exactly. We've been here before, and... Yeah, I guess maybe we should just get into the game itself. I don't know.
Yes. Right?
But before we do that, I want to remind you quickly about our sponsors over at DraftKings. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoffs, Beards, all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. They got same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Last episode, we talked about if you want to bet on the Leafs to win the cup, you might as well just go and bet on them to win the series because you probably get better value doing that. If you did that, you're at plus 200. Now, obviously, after a win, back to plus 100, kind of similar to what we saw pre-game or pre-series start. Leafs have, like, I guess, a smaller edge now with three home games. Bruins now have two away games. It's a five series game, I guess. Five game series now. Excuse me. Wow, all over the place. But yeah, five game series now. Leafs have home ice advantage. Don't know how much that's going to do for them because our home ice sucks. Anyways, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers can get $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Let's dive into this game. We got a freaking W. Massive.
Yeah, for game 3-4, the Leafs are going to request to play it in Boston. Or actually in Buffalo. Be louder in Buffalo.
I'd be down for that. I wish we could do that. But yeah.
You should. So game one.
I want to get into the game, but before I want to get into the game, I want to talk about the things that we talked about last episode. And like, did we feel like they came to fruition? Right.
So the one thing I did notice, so unfortunately, let's start. The PK goal against was Marner Kampfhahn. That's shit. But
yeah,
the one thing I did notice at the end of the game when there was that PK, because Ilya Lyubushkin just lost his mind for whatever reason. I did notice it started Marner Kampf. And because it's the end of the game, you have to put the team out there as much as you can, obviously. But also, they made sure that it was always Marner Kampf out there. Started Marner Kampf, and then I believe David Kampf stayed out there, or Marner stayed out there. And then they put Yarncroc in there a little bit. They put Dewar in there a little bit, but it was always Marner Kampf on the ice in that PK. They must have played. If not, they must have missed like 10 seconds. They made sure that they were on at all times because the Leafs PK, it lacks depth. I mean, William Nylander's not a very good PKer. He's miles better than Matthew Nyes, so you know,
yeah,
it was that was interesting to see that part, right? And the special, just to group it all together, special teams, power play looked a lot better, didn't it? Not
special teams, special players, special plays. That's it. That's it, right there.
I keep seeing it. I don't know what it is. I feel so old.
It's this guy on TikTok. His name's Sketch. He's fucking hilarious. He's like he plays Madden and just he's like a streamer. His brother. He's a streamer. But yeah.
They switched. So, anyways,
the switch.
I don't know what any of that means. But they the switch for Yarncroc and Bertuzzi switching on PP1. I don't know how that was not done in game one. As we said, it must have been a pre-scout, kind of a shitty pre-scout at the end of the day when you look at it, because Bertuzzi has one taken back and then he gets an assist on the John Tavares power play goal. And it was just much, much better. Like, like Cali Yarncroc doesn't have a booming shot. He has a pretty good release, I would say. Like, he's a pretty good goal scorer, but like, he's a depth goal scorer that's hit 20 goals once in his career. His shot is just okay. Why wouldn't you rather have that net front specialist on the PK? And it really on the PP, and it really, really worked this time. Did it not? Like,
no, absolutely. And I wanted to say that, like, I think it's, I don't know if maybe I'm grasping at straws here with the reasoning, but Cali Yarncroc, I feel like, doesn't have enough movement to, like, he doesn't move well on the ice and like find open space. I feel like Bertuzzi was really, was like kind of circling and finding open space. Maybe
Bertuzzi's just better off at last it. You're correct.
I think Bertuzzi's just better at being like a free range floater and like losing and shaking defenders, right? Because if you're going to be.
And then ending up at the net.
Exactly.
And if you're going to be the net, but yes, you're right. Leaves the front, loses them a little bit, and then ends up in the front, ends up where he needs to be, but is also good at winning puck battles too.
Exactly. So it's like if you end up in that net front or bumper position, if you're there, you want someone who's able to spin off and hide themselves and like make themselves disappear against other teams' defenders, which I feel like Bertuzzi's just way better at than Cali Yarncroc. So I get the like original logic as to why it's like, okay, it was like maybe an easy fix because Yarncroc is the same handedness as Nylander. Yeah. So maybe like the flow of the power play is different, but is the same. But like, I think that was just a Galaxy brain move. Should have been Bertuzzi from the top. We've seen him play. He's better on the power play. We know that for a fact. So, but yeah, it's good that they had made that adjustment.
Yep. And yeah, so the power play was much better. A lot of chances on the power play as well. Not only PP1, PP2 actually got a good chance. Cali Yarncroc actually ended up with a really good chance from Matthew Nyes that they had to review to see if it was actually in the net or not. It turned out Ullmark made a good save. Were you surprised to see Ullmark in this game?
Yeah, I was shocked. And like, I was like, I think,
but if you were going to put him in the series, you had to put him in game two. No.
Yeah, I think, but like, I you could have just waited for a loss, maybe though. No, but then it like what
then
kind
you're
of message
waiting,
is that?
Like, then he hasn't played a game in over a week, and it's like that's where the split, like,
it's a tricky situation that I wouldn't want to navigate.
Yeah, if you have two good, what's the saying? I don't even, something about two good goalies, you have none, or something like that. But
yeah,
I'm very curious. So Swayman's obviously going to be a game three go. I think from there, that's where if Swayman plays well, they're going to put him in game four. I don't think they're going to do any more flip flopping, but yeah. Linus Ullmark was solid in this one. I wouldn't complain about that at all. I mean, Austin Matthews breakaway backhand forehand. Are you shitting me underneath the bar? Like, what are you going to do on that one? What are you going to do? Made a huge save on Nick Robertson actually too in that one. So yeah. Like the Max Domi went off the stanchion, Matthews off the post, and then like, what the hell are you going to do on that one? And then just the Tavares one, okay, wide open, but it was a clapper, low blocker, great shot. So, you know, what are you going to do? So we'll see what the, it was something to keep an eye on, but I really think they're done with the flip-flopping there. Other things we talked about in this game, the first line came to play. Let's go.
They didn't take three penalties.
I think they only took one amazing. Bertuzzi slashing Marchand, which I'll take that all day.
We'll take that. Even Jack Edwards agrees that it was a soft call there. Wow. Yeah, it was stupid though. Let's be honest. That was stupid. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, I think at the very least, I think refs are going to see that play and be like, all right, that was a bit of a dive from Marchand. Maybe Marchand gets a label again. Hopefully, I don't know. Trying to grab a positive from here. That's what I always try and do because I'm psychotic. But no, dude, the first line was insane. The Matthews participating on every goal, them scoring that 5-on-5, the third goal, which was disgusting. Yeah. Like, everything.
The third
everything.
Goal, the first goal too.
The first one,
to get it right back. To get it right back was
like right away. It was
huge,
massive
huge
for us. Massive. For
I'm trying to think of any other. Matthews had a couple chances, but one was from Marner off at 5-on-5. Overall they were all right. There was the one off the rush breakdown where Domi just took the wrong guy, or he didn't know where to go, even though it was kind of obvious where to go. But Ilya Samsonov bailed them out. And I guess that transitions into the next one. Ilya Samsonov. Yeah. We were saying, don't start him. This guy was awesome. Every time you count this guy out, bam, comes back. I was so unconfident after game one. He was flinching out left, right, and center. He was awesome tonight. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That third period was massive. What a period from him there. Dude, what an end to the second period. Oh, terrific game from Ilya Samsonov.
Egg on my face because I tweeted out it like the first after like
you used to get rid of him
before the first goal the second goal happened. I was like, get Samsonov out of the net, because like the fumble pass that like he looked like he was fumbling, and it's like when he gets like that,
he completed it. Who didn't complete the pass after that?
No, but he completed the pass, but he basically threw a muffin to his guy because the forechecker's there now, had to ring it around, and then that led to a turnover. If he completed the pass early...
And then he missed it. No, Edmondson missed the pass there.
Yeah, because it was a rushed pass, because that little split second of Samsonov not passing it right away and muffing it gave Boston's forecheck tons of time to get in and pressure you. Obviously, again, you got to make a better play under pressure, but there was an opportunity there to make a good play without the pressure being there. There was an opportunity, and that didn't happen as a result of that Samsonov play. Like, that's where it started from for me.
He had made some saves before that.
That's like me using like fake eyes that my eyes suck, absolutely suck. That just like I see him, he's nervous, and it's like then the puck went in on like whatever. That goal is just Benoit, like a Benoit mistake, and that wasn't his fault, but I'm just like, get him out of here. But
yeah,
kudos to him. Egg on my face. Played freaking amazing down the stretch. Like,
yeah, he saved us in the face. Oh my God. That's where I hate when you're sitting in that, when like you're up against the post and the guy's coming in from the side and he's right along the goal line. It's obviously not a very dangerous chance, but when you go against the post like that, whether you're in leg lock, whether you're in RVH, it doesn't matter. Your head's sitting in the top corner. Like, your head is blocking an actual spot. Like, usually when you're standing in the net, your head's above the crossbar, and then you go down into the save. But when the puck's along the goal line like that, your head is blocking the top corner. And if a guy's just a huge asshole, they could just rip one into so many wrong areas there, which is what we saw prior to that second goal. It's such a pain in the ass. But you want to take a look at the second goal?
Yeah, bring it up here in a sec.
Right now, or
yeah, break it down, because I see a lot of people on like, this is like a simple play that we've talked about the Leafs, like how they function off the draw, like plenty of times on this podcast. So if you listen, you already know what we're gonna. You know what we're going to talk about here. We play man off the draw, period. And that only stops when there's a stop in play, basically. Right. Mm-hmm. We talked about this with the Brody up the wall. Remember that Brody up the wall from a couple weeks ago? You're good to go, by the way. You're up on the screen. We're so if you want to play it through. Yeah.
So let's just play it through. So Tavares loses the draw. It comes up to the point. I think it's McAvoy to Zacha. Great. Just what a one time by David.
That was a disgusting pass and disgusting.
It's a great pass from Pavel Zacha. Puts his ass towards Jake McCabe, throws the backhand through, and then just not even one dust, just one timer right through the five. It's just a fantastic pass and finish there. Really got to say that. Not much time left in the period. You'd really hope the Leafs would be able to kill it, but let's break it down what happens here. So the Leafs are going man. So Jake McCabe goes up. He's taking Pavel Zacha here. He's chasing Pavel Zacha. So maybe you would have liked Jake McCabe to take, I don't know, but center on center. So Tavares is fine here. Yeah. He's with Morgan Geeky, right?
Yeah.
So Jake McCabe chases up high. It happens. They're man on man, though. Or,
that's what's supposed to happen, though.
Sorry, they're not man on man yet. Give me one second. They're man on man, pretty much.
There they are. But the thing is, actually, it's funny because Tavares, obviously, it's not a result of the play here, but he gets lost. He loses Geeky. This, like, it could have been, like, you know, like, he should have been with Geeky throughout, and McCabe should have been on Zacha quicker. And I think that's kind of a mix up there that might have led to, yeah.
Seeing this play live, I actually did see like the Tavares swivel. Yeah. I'm like, oh, goal right here, marking Geeky, but that wasn't the case, luckily. But anyways, so we're man on man, essentially. Jake McCabe's got Pavel Zacha. Sean Tavares has Morgan Geeky. Matthew Nyes is getting up to his point here. Marner's got the point here, right? Man on man. Simone Benoit takes Pasternak off the draw. He chases him up high. He doesn't have good body position on him here. Pasternak has the edge on him here. He's able to easily protect the puck, whatever. So he drops the puck. He essentially makes the handoff here, and then he just keeps going. We have now two guys in no man's land doing nothing, not even covering Charlie McAvoy up here. Like, this is where the play breaks down here. Whose guy is it? Why do we have two guys on one defenseman when you're playing man on man? That's the issue right here, right?
Yeah.
Flipping here. Simone Benoit has his guy. Doesn't have his guy anymore because he tries to, you can tell from a different angle, this is not a great one, but he tries to play the pass here.
Yeah.
He tries to come off of his guy and play the pass here, which you're saying a different thing. If he breaks it up, he doesn't. So that's where the issue comes in. Matthew Nyes is playing really aggressively towards the defenseman. That's where I think here, I mean, maybe Matt Nyes shouldn't be just going straight for the defenseman here. He's got to kind of have that wherewithal that, hey, like David Pastrnak's got a good leg on Simone Benoit here. This, I might have to take him here. He doesn't. And boom, bing, bang, boom. Mitch Marner's got his guy. He's got his defenseman here. Kevin Bieksa at the intermission said, oh, maybe like Marner deeper, create that layers. But then that opens up top here. Layers, we have two guys falling over each other at the blue line. It's not that hard to see here. To your two guys, if I'm a defensive coach, like I think the number one thing I would teach is that when you're on the ice and you're in white, don't run into the other white guy. Or the other guy in white. Sorry. Canceled.
That's going to get clipped. Careful.
I'm done. Don't run into any white guys. Anyways. Like that, I don't know. Like maybe Marner could have been a tad deeper, but like I think we're focusing on the wrong thing here.
Absolutely.
I think we should be focusing on the two guys staring at the puck doing nothing.
Yeah, it was a bad breakdown from
Kevin. Why is Matthew Nyes on the ice in this defensive? Like, why? He's not that good defensively. Where is this coming from? Why is he here? There's nine seconds or whatever left.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just one of those things where it's like the line was already out there, so let's keep them out there. Didn't think he had a good game altogether, honestly. I was kind of surprised, but yeah. I'm shocked that,
he had the one setup on the power play. They kept cycling in Yarncroc with the fourth line. I mean, I would have liked Yarncroc with the second line a little bit, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But, it wasn't great. This line was not good at all.
That line was terrible tonight.
Especially a 5-on-5.
Yeah, like 5-on-5, that line was awful. John Tavares scored, helped us with that power play goal. Good stuff, but at 5-on-5, that line was legit useless. Something we talked about last game that didn't happen, where it's like the second line felt okay. We got them. I think they were probably our better line.
Nick Robertson, I was watching back the game. Nick Robertson had a huge chance in game one in the first period, I think before the first goal. And then this game got robbed again. Like if Nylander's back, I would hate for him to kind of come out. He's providing some good offense in there, so just a little tidbit in there. But anyways, so that's the second goal. Can you see my screen? Can you see the Leafs' second goal? What we're gonna look at here.
Yep.
The Bruins play a bit of a aggressive PK here. They're gonna chase the puck carrier down. They're gonna try to smother them, and then that's where when they chase, that's where you. Quick puck movement, patience, and quick puck movement is going to open up space for the Leafs here. Like, Matthews knows, so puck goes to the point. Matthews could easily send that across to, I don't think it's the best offense. I think it's like McCabe or something over here. It's nobody like crazy, but he could easily send that across. You send that on net. Okay, it is what it is. He knows that he's waiting for Jake DeBrus to come in. He wants to bump it to the bumper here, which is Cali Yarncroc. He waits for him to come in. Okay, I got you now. So the Bruins then successfully close off on Yarncroc. Yarncroc wins that battle, though, takes away his stick, and then bang. We got a two-on-two, but Tavares is wide open here. Well, two-on-two, whatever. It creates that two-on-two. But so anyways, move the puck from low, goes up high, coax them in, spread the forwards a little bit, create a little bit of space, and then boom, you find the space, and then you find the back of the net. That's all I got from here. Take my screen off.
Yeah. I wish we had a breakdown for the third goal, because that was just...
There doesn't need to be.
It was just nasty. Forehand.
It's forehand to backhand to forehand to underneath the bar. It's disgusting. That was such a nice. That might be Austin Matthews' nicest playoff goal. This has to be his top three best playoff game I've ever seen him play, because he was terrific start to finish in this one. After a game I criticized, I thought he wasn't that great in game one. And you know what? He came to play. And the captain found him back in the net.
This is like, technically, this is his best playoff game. Because as you said, his first best game was game four against Columbus. That was a play-in tournament. Technically not the playoffs, in my eyes. The RTP tournament. At least that's what it's called on...
The Honda DraftKings Betway.
I don't think we were there yet with the ads, but yeah, no, this was like Matthews was dominant this game, dominant. So I guess, well, power play, right? We got our saves, like things we talked about last game. First line came out to play. Something that I wanted to, like, didn't take as many stupid penalties. Still two stupid penalties, but last point I wanted to make was our fourth line was good. They won almost every single minute that they were on the ice. There were a couple of times where there was like a little squeaky bum in the defensive zone, but like they were
caught out there tired. Yes. And it was didn't look great. But
that's also because the D who were out with them were also caught out too. I thought they played very well, and I thought they won their minutes, and I think that's massive. So
they did.
I think that's kind of the stuff that we hit on last game.
Think about the fourth line all year. And now we have Camp, Reeves, and then Connor Dewar, who we acquired, who had a good game. He had himself a pretty good game. But this is like, what the hell? What is this turnaround? What is this turnaround from the fourth line? Oh my God, this is a pleasant surprise that we're seeing from them. This is fantastic to see. Like, they played very well, as you said tonight. I completely agree. I was floored by it. I mean, part of it is also like competition, the Bruins fourth line, who's on there, and they're beating them, but they're playing well. They're playing good hockey, which is fantastic to see. I love to see it. Like, Ryan Reeves is playing. He took that pen. Oh my God. That penalty, when they were calling it, it said 2 minutes up on the screen.
I was going to lose it.
The converter was going straight through the TV. If they call that garbage on just Ryan Reeves there. But you know what the funny thing is? You know what the call was for the Bruins on that play?
It was too many men, no?
Too many men.
But it was.
Into the bench. And then Montgomery is like, what? He was going off. He's on our bench. He's on the Leafs bench. What do you mean?
It's funny because it's like
such a dumb pen. Why would you even call that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was stupid. But it was funny because I feel like the ref had a better hold on was it Geeky than Reeves?
Yeah.
I know Reeves gave him the tug, but the ref was even grabbing him. It's like, to be fair, what is he supposed to do?
So technically, like, the ref got the call right, but it's like, why are you even calling that? That was weird. But anyways, yeah, the fourth line played pretty well tonight. Who's on the – so I guess the only five-on-five goal against was against the second lines. Third line was 0-0, which is nice to see. But overall in this one, you cut out the dumb penalties. Your goalie came to play this one. Your top line, your best player came to play in this one. This PK needs to be cleaned up. I mean, three penalty kill goals against in two games is not quite good enough, but we'll get there. The power play finally scored a goal. We just need William Nylander back. And after getting some news about the injury, like, I'm not going to say what's going on, but I don't know, just a guess. I think he's going to be based on like he was almost in this game.
Yeah. You would hope so.
He'll be in game three. It's tricky. It's tricky to navigate this. And I like people are criticizing the Leafs. I would not.
Can I say something? Like, that's the dumbest thing. Like, criticizing the Leafs for, I feel like people are criticizing the Leafs half because they want to know what the injury is. And it's like, yo, is this your first time in the playoffs? Like, ever watching like a playoff series or following a team in the playoffs? Because, you know, teams never, like, I remember 2 years ago, it was Edmonton. Draisaitl had like a broken foot or like a torn ruptured Achilles or something bananas like that. And everyone knew he was hurt.
He was on one foot.
But they would not say that he was hurt. They were not saying what it was, nothing, because they knew that the second the other team found out, they'd target that. So we don't want, like, it's so dumb to be like complaining about what's going on. Like, why aren't you telling us what's happening here? We should know. We should know what's happening. Guys, tell us what's happening. Like, no, shut up. Stop it.
So I'll even say, like, I love Jeff O'Neill. Him criticizing Nylander, oh, why is he practicing? Why is he not back in Toronto doing this? Like, because he was a game time decision. I believe with a game time decision, you decide at the time of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what happened. Like, it's an injury. Let's just say that. Anthony Stewart said that on the radio.
Yep.
He clearly knows what it is. Jordan Schmaltz clearly knows what it is.
Yep.
Like, it's an injury. It's tricky to navigate this. The Leafs aren't going to say anything. And if someone who actually knows what the injury is says something, you're a moron. Shut up. Keep that to yourself, please. Idiot.
Seriously.
How about that?
I was like, kind of. Like, I love Schmaltz. He came on the podcast. Like, he did a great episode with us.
He's not saying what it is. Good.
He just, even the fact that he said it's a body injury. Like, no injury. No. He has an emotional, he's emotionally damaged. Okay. That's what it is. His hair hurts him. Stop. Mm.
You got a bad tramp stamp tattoo. That's upper body enough.
So Nylander, if let's say Nylander draws in next game, right? Let's talk about some changes for next game. Who comes out? Because I was thinking about this. It's hard to come up with who comes out. Because it feels like at this point, how can you break up that fourth line?
I know.
After this game. I know that sounds like that's a silly thing to say. Like, the answer is obviously not, like, Nylander comes in the lineup, so you have to take someone out. That's the answer, right? So it's like, how can you break up the fourth line? Okay, so you can't. You go to the third line. Who do you take off the third line? Logic would tell you it's Nick Robertson, because he played the least amount of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably not going to take out Kalle Yarncrook. Pontus Holmberg, maybe, because he also played some low minutes.
So it's like
that's the problem, right? So for me,
they still use him on the PK too.
Yeah, so
that's where
Holmberg.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be like it looks like it's Robertson.
They use Dewar on the penalty kill. Yeah, they use Dewar on the penalty kill. They use Holmberg on the penalty kill. They use, well, obviously, then you have your top guys, Kampfen and Marner there. So it's between, also, like, just to say, I don't think McMahon's back this series. I think that injury is more week to week. I think he's hopefully going to be back round two. Sucks.
Yeah.
Because I liked him. He was playing the PK too. That would have been nice PK depth, but what can you freaking do, I guess? But anyways. So back to what I was saying, yeah, I don't even think, is Robertson playing PP2? If he is, he's not playing very much.
I'm honestly not sure, but I don't think that's a factor, because Nylander would just come in and probably bump him off PP2, right? Because Nylander would come in, play PP1. Oh, whoever gets on PP1 would bump whoever's on PP2 out.
Yeah.
He'd probably be the odd man out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like Nick Robertson's probably going to come out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It sucks. He's had a couple good moments in these playoffs. No real major mess ups. Mm-hmm. So, but like, yeah, based on who had the lowest 5-on-5 ice time for the Leafs?
I believe when I checked, it was, I want to say it was Robertson, but let me just check quickly. So, total ice time, Robertson at 7:21, Holmberg had 9:45, but five on five.
Holmberg didn't get much penalty kill because they scored right away on the first one.
Yeah. So Robertson 7:21, Holmberg 8:52. Robertson 7:21 at 5-on-5 was by far the least among the entire team. Yarncroke only had 10:22 at 5-on-5 as well. Makes sense because the third line didn't play a lot. Nyes.
That's why they were giving him shifts in the with the fourth line.
Yeah. Nyes.
But then you also got to look at, like, if you're giving Yarncroke, you're taking Reeves is taking shifts off, right?
So
like,
but at the same time, Reeves actually played more than Yarncroke.
Reeves played more than Yarncroke?
Yeah, he played, mind you, 10 seconds more, but more ice time at five on five.
Holy moly.
At 5-on-5. Total ice time.
I was not expecting that.
Yarncroke obviously played more because they are playing penalty kill. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Who else played less than Ryan Reeves?
At 5-on-5, it was just the third line. Yarncroke, Holmberg, Robertson. So
that's insane.
You could say Reeves, you could say Reeves comes out, but I don't think Reeves should come out, period, no matter how little he's playing, just because he's like a little temperature check for Pat Maroon. Because you know Pat Maroon was gonna do something, like we've seen it before where it's like Simmons is out of the lineup and then like Pat Maroon decides to do like whack shit then. You know? It's like almost like a temperature check for him. Even though we have the bodies to deal with him still, just having, I think, Ryan Reeves there, because he's gonna be probably matched up against him when they're on the ice together for the entire time. It's just like just keeps everyone in check on the Bruins for sure.
Indeed. So
I don't know. So
I'm still just shocked. Ryan Reeves played. But it's also like I'm not. Like I would have, if it was the beginning of the year, I would have noticed. But like he's doing good things out there. They're forechecking very well, that line. So that's where I don't totally hate it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's just really interesting to me that he played that much. But like he's playing well. That's where I'm not noticing it as much, because I would notice it if that line was slow to a puck. It got broken out against them and then just ended up in their end the entire rest of that shift. But no, they're putting some pucks on net, forechecking pretty well. Please, this game actually didn't make that big mistake like he did in game one. Like,
yeah. So,
damn.
It sucks to see Robertson. It sucks. I'm assuming Robertson comes out. It sucks to see him come out.
All signs are pointing towards that, yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to see him get a look on the second line, because I don't think the second line has been it was not good like that game, and like they needed to change it up. I thought Nyes is in the area, like in the range of him running. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Sometimes it feels like, and he's not like. Seems like, again, it's the top six. I think he struggles against top six competition at his age, which is not a criticism on him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
He's 20 years old. Like, I'm not to expect him to be amazing as a top six player. Like, he's a second round pick. Like, you got to be realistic here. He's fantastic for what he's already matured at a fantastic rate. And I think he would crush bottom six competition. So I want to see him get that bottom six action. But we didn't get the switch up.
Him and Robertson, though, are like very close in age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like very, very close in age. Who do you trust less? Who do you trust more defensively, Robertson or Nyes?
Honestly, neither. Like Nyes has been really shaky.
Obviously,
like,
neither. Really pick one. No.
I want to say Robertson because I feel like he is more of an upside offensively. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think he has like a little bit more. I honestly don't know. I just think he's been better, period, okay, than Nyes.
Nyes is a better, like, that's where there is a bit of a debate, I would say, between Robertson and Nyes.
No, that's like, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, Nyes, yeah, is a better forechecker. He's more physical. He's bigger.
But
he's not that great defensively.
Yeah.
What offense has he really generated much at 5-on-5? Like,
not really. And that's the one thing keeping him in the lineup is his ability to forecheck. But also, it feels like he's not even in there on the forecheck as the first man in.
No. He's also terrible off the rush in terms of off the puck, off the rush. Mm-hmm. He's just not in the right spots. He's not like pushing defensemen back. He's not in a spot to where he's a passing option at all. Like, he's raw. They're both still quite raw. It's mm-hmm. great to see them in the lineup. It's great to see them contributing a little bit this season, but I think there's a bigger debate than there's actually being held in terms of Robertson versus Nyes. I had such a great point going, and then anyways, there's a bigger debate, I think, than what's being held publicly or by the Leafs in terms of Robertson versus Nyes, simply because, like, I think they're overrating Nyes' defensive game on the Leafs.
I agree. And it's also just like appealing to authority in the sense of, like, he's in our top six, so therefore he should be continuing to play. So I want to quickly pull up the...
I'm not saying scratch him, but like...
No. But it shouldn't just be...
Respect Nick Robertson.
Yeah, like, okay, here's this. 16 minutes of ice time. Nick Robertson is fourth in the team at 5-on-5 individual Corsi 4. He's fourth. He has the fourth highest shots for. Seven of them are scoring chances. Two of them are high danger chances in 16 minutes of ice time. Sorry, six of them are scoring chances. Three of them are high
danger chances.
At 5-on-5 throughout the last two games. Compare that to Matthew Nyes, who has five individual Corsi 4. Three scoring chances for and zero high danger chances for. So Robertson and that's in 21 minutes. So in four less minutes, we're penny pinching here. We're penny pinching here. Not a lot of time, but still, right? 16 minutes versus 21 minutes.
You have to look. Those are shot metrics. Nyes is more of a passer. Robertson is more of a shooter. So that's something to consider. But like, Nyes hasn't made any good passes.
And what would you prefer on that second line?
There was a nice chance to Calgary on Croc 5-on-5, I'm saying.
What would you prefer on that second line, though, right? Would you prefer Matthew Nyes being the one as like kind of not he's a good passer, but not, it's not like Marner. He'd be the distributor. I'd prefer Marner doing that. And like Robertson just being off puck and being able to find those scoring spaces. And like, he's still got a shot. Robertson's got a freaking shot. He can shoot the puck. He used that Allmark save, man. That Allmark save. Huge. So close.
I don't know how he stopped that. That was massive. Damn. Anyways, it's just they just don't trust Robertson at all defensively. But it's like, that's where there's an issue with that second line, technically a little bit, because they want to use that second line to take those tough matchups. But if you have a guy on there that's kind of defensively deficient, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we need Nylander back. ASAP.
We desperately need him back. Desperately need him back. It just makes our third line so much better. Like, just
first time scoring three goals in a playoff game since what was it? Game 4, Game 5 of Tampa Bay series.
Game 4, eight games. So,
what was the score in Game 5? Was it 3-2?
It was Game 4. Game 4.
What was the score in Game 5 of that series, though?
I'll tell you in 2 seconds. You just gotta wait. I can pull it up right now.
Panther series was nothing.
It was 5-4 in Game 4. 4-2 loss for the Leafs in Game 5.
4-2 loss.
5-4 win in
Game 4. Huh, yeah. Nice. There we go. All right. I think that pretty much wraps everything up.
Anything else you're looking forward to change? Any other change? Obviously, Samsonov stays in.
Second line's got to be way better. That was just can't be that bad. can't be giving up goals like that. The one thing I would like to change is just in terms of gameplay. Like they score, they do something good, and then it just always seems like something stupid happens. Some dumb turnover, dumb penalty right after. Can we just have like a sequence of nice hockey after a positive play for like a couple minutes? That's all I'm asking for. It's not that much. Don't turn over the puck in front of your own net right after a goal, please, for the love of God. But a nice start. Like, I don't think anything technical, like obviously the PK, figure it the hell out. The power play, I wonder what adjustments the Bruins are going to make after that goal. So, but I'm looking, if Nylander's not a go for game three, keep Bertuzzi in there. That was nice to see.
Keep it, flip Nyes and Robertson just to see
it's game three of the playoffs. I don't know if they'll do it, but
I think you just need to do something to spark the second line. But yeah, anyways,
maybe.
With Nylander coming in, it shouldn't even, like, I don't even think that line will need a spark.
Well, offensive zone face-off. Why not?
Yeah, right. Like, Nylander will be the spark on that second line when he plays like the 3-4 minutes with them on those extra shifts. So
yeah, I would guess it would be 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Should be 4 to 5 extra minutes up there. But yeah, just like little, like, I know cliche. I'm looking for the cliche shit. Start on time. Don't take dumb penalties again. And the second line, please, for the love of God, do something out there offensively.
I have two things. Score more goals than the other team. We did that tonight and it worked. And then also, this isn't for the team, but this is for the Leafs crowd. If you're going to the game, yo, be loud. Be loud. Let's take our home ice back. Like,
yeah.
Let's take our freaking home ice back. Like, it's crazy. Why are we the quietest stadium in the NHL?
Yeah.
We travel so well, but our home ice sucks.
So great. Every single away game is, which is why the away record is so good. I think
it's crazy. Yes, it makes,
but it's really, really is funny. Anywho, game three, Wednesday, I think it's 7 p.m. 1-1 series. Let's keep this going. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Go Leafs, go.